The following is a paid presentation on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Welcome to Open House, the real estate and mortgage show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
If you have any questions about mortgages or real estate, give us a call at 521-TALK. That's 521-8255 or text 580-580. With Frank Napolitano and Paul Rushforth, here is Steve Gregory.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is another special day in the neighborhood. The boys are here, Mr. Rushforth in the flesh, Mr. Napolitano in the flesh.
It was nice introducing myself to Frank again this morning, you know, I haven't seen him in so long.
Did he recognize you?
He didn't recognize me at all.
Why is that? Because 2 weeks ago, you weren't here.
I knew you were coming back from your from all your 17 trips, and I wanted to get away from you.
Truth is, I don't recognize you guys every day because I never see you. So there's either one missing or another.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, the age joke was coming.
I could see that. But I know we're on CFRA. We're an aging population, so I'm going to show
you. I'm young, so.
You're very, very young, yes.
You know, it's funny you say that because I get a lot of young people that listen to the show and tell me that. It's surprising because... You know, when I think of CFRA, I think most of the people that are listening are 50 and up.
Yeah.
And yet, surprisingly, how many young individuals say, listen to your show.
I don't want to take the credit for that.
No. But Frank, I agree with you. I'm actually shocked, too. Like, I get people in the 20s, 30s, 40s coming up to me saying, love your show. And I'm like, you listen?
Do you guys not realize that this is the most popular radio show in the entire city?
Well, I know that.
Well, we thought that, but we didn't know that everybody else thought that.
Hey, we got some numbers in.
We do. Our market is, go ahead. You're about to...
No. You're the guy.
A whole bunch of numbers. It's a big numbers week.
Boy, it's a huge numbers week.
There's
a lot to talk about today.
Yeah, there is. And you know what? The real estate market is really starting to come alive, put it that way. You know, we saw in February, we saw the number of sales was up 15.2%, and the average sale price was up 2% at $651.
Yeah. That's year over year, though, right?
That's year over year. Okay. And when you look at year to date, we're up. Sales volume's up 15.7%, and the average sale price is up 2%. So, it's a market that is. You feel it, and Greg, you're doing lots of listings, lots of pictures right now, but it's one of those markets right now that I feel like we're just about to burst, and it's you can feel it coming. And anyone I talk to, all the realtors I talk to, anyone on my team, we're really noticing that it's just ready to rock and roll, ready to burst. And obviously, we had a great rate announcement. I mean, not going down, but at least we stayed flat, and now they're potentially thinking April, right? Coming down in April?
Not coming down in April.
No, you don't think so?
No. No, even June is actually, so June used to be 100%.
Now I'm not thinking
June
July,
is now down to 70% in June and 100% in July. So
now they're forecasting maybe only one or two decreases in the year.
Depends on the economist. Yeah. I mean, there's one that still thinks it's going to be like there's going to be a huge one in the fall. One economist thinks there could be a 0.5 or 0.75% drop in the fall sometime, so that the whole total for that second half of the year would be 1 or 1.25%. But the numbers are the inflation numbers are still stubborn, but the inflation numbers are stubborn because, well, shelter costs are up and carbon taxes have participated in
food prices being elevated. And now booze is going up in April too.
In April booze. So now that's going to drive the inflation number up again. And it's like, but it's nothing that the Canadians have caused. It's caused by the government themselves. So they're the ones who are keeping inflation numbers up. Disappointing. It's disappointing because Canadian families are hurting.
Yeah.
Now, you wouldn't know it by going to airports. Last Saturday, I was flying to
Do you even remember where you're going last Saturday? Which conference was it?
He's looking at his phone.
Yeah, he's looking at his phone.
No, I'm not. I did, but we flew through Newark.
Yeah.
There would have been about 700 people at 4 in the morning, 700 people in line to go through customs in the U.S. in Ottawa. At 4 in the morning on a Saturday. Now, it's March break. It was
Yeah, but these
March
are people break. That bought their house 5 years ago, 10 years ago.
They've got some equity. There's no question. People that have been homeowners for longer than 3 years have built up a lot of equity in their home, and they're doing well on that side. But the equity isn't everything. It's the cost of living. It's every day. And, you know, Equifax just came out. Talk about numbers. Equifax came out. Credit card delinquencies are significantly on the rise.
And
credit
mortgage
card usage
too.
And mortgage delinquencies now are starting to pop up, and the default insurers are telling us that they've got a plan in place and they're trying to help as many Canadians as possible. because the default insurer's belief is that we need to keep Canadians in their homes. There's already a shortage of supply. The last thing we need to do is you know, take the house over and now they don't have anywhere to live because finding a rental isn't easy either. So
I think it was Equifax that actually came out and said there's a large portion of, well, not large, but a portion, a higher portion of Canadians right now that are not paying their mortgages right now. I think it was Equifax.
It's up 135.2%.
Yeah, and what was it? It was that they just weren't there. They couldn't pay
mortgage
their mortgage
delinquency.
Mortgage delinquency.
But let's put it into context.
Yes, I was just going to say that.
Very low.
Yeah.
So it's nothing to panic about. This isn't what happened in the U.S. in 2007, 2008, 2009. Not even close to that. We're still talking about 0.3% of people that are delinquent on their mortgage. So minuscule,
yeah,
but a concern based on the fact that, you know, we're seeing this large increase in the last 6 months. And we've got a number of Canadians, millions of Canadians actually, that have their mortgages coming up for renewal over the next 6 to 12 months. Which means that they're going to be going from 2.79 and 2.99 to the high fours and low fives, and that's a concern.
Yeah, put me in that field. I have my mortgage. One of my mortgages is coming up very soon too, and it's my largest mortgage. And it's
are you variable right now?
I'm at 2.89. I actually locked in before everything went crazy,
and it worked out well, right?
It worked out well. I mean, 2.89 when the rates are where they are, but. Now you're right. I'm going to be in the fours or fives.
So. Yeah, and what a lot of Canadians, at least you have the advantage of doing if you've got a lot of equity in your home, is being able to. Now, your current bank won't let you re-amortize it, but it doesn't mean you can't go elsewhere to get it re-amortized. So, and by getting it re-amortized, you can try and keep your payments similar to what they are today.
I thought current bank would let you re-amortize.
Well, they will, but
they'll
charge a fee. They'll go through the whole process with you where if you're going to go through that process, I always say, well, then. So there's the banks have what's called mortgages. So they either have default insured mortgages or they call them conventional mortgages. So the rates on conventional mortgages are significantly higher than they are on default insured mortgages because, you know, from a lender's perspective, default insured mortgages are backed by either CMHC, Sagen, or Canada Guarantee, the default insurer. So the risk level to the financial institution is nothing. But non-bank lenders who get a lot of their funding from the big banks have what's called insurable mortgages. So what's an insurable mortgage? It's basically, it's a mortgage that if the property is valued at less than $1 million, if you're at 65% loan to value, which a lot of people are based on the equity they have, they can get the same rate as a default insured mortgage. Banks don't have it, but non-bank lenders have it. So that's why we've seen an increase in our business because the banks are offering customers 5.59 for a 5-year fixed, and we're at 4.79 and 4.89. It's a significant difference because we're able to offer default insured mortgages versus the banks don't do that. So
None of the banks.
So there's advantages. I always say, especially today, you know, when times are so tough, don't just work with your bank only. Get a second opinion, get a third opinion, see what's out there. And not only on the interest rate, and don't just focus on the interest rate, but focus on the advice that you get. Focus on other stuff that comes with the mortgage. You know, if you're really dead set on taking a 5-year fixed mortgage, and if interest rates do come down as much as they do, I would strongly recommend considering a non-bank lender versus a bank lender. Because a non-bank lender, you can break the mortgage, and it's just the interest rate differential. If you go to a bank, they use this posted rate against you. And your penalty in many cases is 3-4 times as big. So getting out of that mortgage is next to impossible if you're with the bank. Well, with a non-bank lender, you're able to convert it, get out of it, pay a penalty, but a fair penalty, and then be able to get the lower rate moving forward.
Yeah, I just had a thought. What would be nice from insurance companies, if you have to break the mortgage, you have a policy.
Well,
you can buy a policy that if you have to break the mortgage within that 5 years.
That's actually a good idea.
It is, except for we know what insurance companies are
like.
Yeah,
exactly.
They love collecting. Yeah. When they got to pay out, they're looking for reasons not to pay out. So it's not that black and white. They'd have little asterisks in there on everything. And it would.
Hey, I'm inventing this, so I'll do the contract.
Yeah, so let Steve go with his dream, Frank. But listen, I know we got to get to a break soon, but just before we get to the break, Frank, you haven't been on the show in a while, and you've just lied to our listeners, by the way.
You were
talking about how there were 700 people in line at the airport. Yeah, but you don't fly commercial, Frank. You got your own plane. Come on, buddy. I lied to the listeners.
I was looking for the Paul Rushford private plane. I couldn't find it.
Are there no logoed planes at the Ottawa airport? You guys don't have logos on these planes?
That's a good idea, actually. I haven't thought about that. That's good. No. Yeah.
Now, flying is not fun. I think everybody that listens, and I know you'll vouch for it, Paul, because you're not a comfortable flyer either. No. I mean, it's just the amount of delays, the amount of, you know, you can't, everybody's going on planes with 2, 3, 4 bags because they don't want to spend the $50 or $70 to check it. And then there's no room for luggage. And
well, no, it's not that they don't want to check it. It's just they want it to get to the destination.
Correct.
That's the problem.
And they don't trust.
They don't trust. Yeah.
So we have people who are concerned about putting food on the table, and Frank is complaining about baggage and flights?
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm surprised that we're that many people in the airports considering how tough it is out there these days.
So. Yeah. That's a good place to get a coffee. Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah, no.
521-TALK, 521-8255. We'll be right back.
We return to Open House, the real estate and mortgage show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
All right, you can take over this segment, Paul, because Frank took my picture and didn't tell me, and my stomach wasn't sucked in.
Yeah, I know. He does that a lot. Then he adds filters and makes us look older and fatter. And
yeah, he made my hair very, very light.
For some reason, he made my hair gray, and it's jet black.
Oh, yeah, it's jet black, all right.
Jet black. Did you just laugh, Greg?
Thicker glasses, Paul. Thicker glasses is what you need.
Remember when Greg was your photographer?
Yeah. My hairdresser tells me it's platinum blonde and I'm going with it.
Yeah.
Now, she always tells me just before tip time, but she tells me it's platinum blonde. When I say, look at all the gray, she goes, that's platinum blonde, Paul. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, I'll go with that.
Hey, listen, we're talking about homes going up 3%. And there was a time, like even though we're talking about, you know, how rough the market has been the last couple of years, there was a time when you got 3% in Ottawa, you were pretty darned happy.
Yeah, we went through lots of years of, you know, 1.2, 1.4, 1.6.
Acceptable, right?
In my opinion, that was a better market than what we've seen over the last few years because it was a win-win for both, right?
And it was more predictable too, right?
It was more predictable and it allowed us as agents to do our job proper. Over the last couple of years, to sell a house, it was somewhat easy. I mean, yes, we were selling for way more than what the average was selling for, but you just had to, in those markets, you just have to sharpen your pencils and do better for your clients. And we're slowly getting into that type of market now. Who knows what's going to happen in the fall when the rates start to come down and that, if we're going to go into a bit of a wild market again. But it's a more palatable market right now for buyers and for sellers and for realtors as well.
Paul, do you think, just out of curiosity, and I keep thinking about this. I mean, the numbers are good and they're up a little bit over last year, but when you look at year over year, it's kind of an unfair comparison sometimes because you have bad months and therefore you compare year over year. And maybe if you look at the 5-year average, a little bit better, but we are a growing city. So shouldn't there be more sales because we've got a million people instead of 800,000 that we may have had 5 or 6 years ago?
We don't have more homes, though.
That's the problem.
Well, no, we have more homes. I mean, obviously, until recently, builders were building left and right. I mean, there were so many homes being built. You look at some of the neighborhoods, even in my neighborhood, I mean, it was all forced 7, 8 years ago, and now there's thousands of homes there.
We're still there. Well underbuilt. Well underbuilt. Oh, 100%. We need way more homes in this city. In this country, we need way more. In this world, we need way more homes. It's just we're so underbuilt right now. And, you know, we've talked about it ad nauseum. You know, builders, it's unfortunately, they still have a lot of red tape. And it's so hard to get shovels in the ground, even though the government's saying, oh, we're working, we're doing this and we're doing that. They're not. We're still at 3,200 listings on the market right now, which is very, very light. For a population that's growing like we are, and with all the immigrants coming to Ottawa and to Canada, we need more homes.
Will we get to 5,000 this spring, do you think?
I think we will. I think we'll get to 5,000 listings. But keep in mind, we used to have conversation of us being at 8, 9, 10, 11,000 listings. Obviously there was a glut on the market at that point, but we're very, very light when it comes to listings on the market right now and especially as rates start to come down and the buyer pent up demand and people starting to get back into the market. Cause keep in mind, there's a lot of people that are sitting on the sidelines right now that are just waiting to get back into the market. Well, when they get back into the market, there's not a lot to buy. Yeah. We need more homes.
Are you seeing more interest now? People coming back?
Yeah. But I'm curious to ask Paul, are there people that are saying, and I wonder, because it's so expensive to move.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, apart from real estate commissions, but you're talking about a brand new land transfer tax. I wonder if there's going to be more people saying, you know what, we'll tolerate it. We'll stay where we are here just because moving is that much more expensive. And, yeah, we've got lots of equity built up, but the land transfer tax is a big one for me. I mean, it's just so expensive because the house values are so high today.
Yeah.
That's a big expense. And then you've got your lawyers, you've got your real estate commissions. And I wonder how many Canadians are going to say, you know what, we're just going to stay put and just sacrifice. You know, we'd love something maybe bigger, but we can manage this.
I think we're going to see more people downsizing. I really do. I think the days of, you know, I mean, there's going to be some that are upsizing, but the days of those huge singles and upsizing and, you know, spending a fortune on your mortgage, I think those days are, I wouldn't say over, but for the short term, they're definitely over. We're seeing more people who are scared of losing their house and now downsizing. And unfortunately, we're actually seeing people who are selling to be a renter again. And
that's going backwards.
Once you go from being a homeowner to a renter,
it's tough to go back.
It's tough to get back in there with the way rents are, saving that money, saving that down payment. It's unfortunately, I've never seen it as much as I'm seeing right now where people have gone from homeowners to renters, which is such a shame.
Would you say the progression has changed now too, where it used to be you'd get into either a townhome or a condo first, move up to a single, and then a bigger single?
Yeah.
Are people more staying put now than they ever have before?
Ever. Yeah, they really are. And
not only because of money, it's just lifestyle, right?
Well, remember when you and I were selling our big singles and we were, the trend was smaller, compact, in the city.
In the city, yeah.
No one was looking for the outskirts. No one was looking for the big properties. No one was looking for, you know, a million plus. And then things changed. COVID happened. Everybody wanted the outskirts. Everyone wanted more land. Families were moving in together. So there was a big demand on expensive, big country homes. It's starting to go back the other way. People are not spending the money on these big homes anymore, and they don't want the yards, and they don't want the maintenance and all that, and they're looking for more compact. So we're back to kind of where we were pre-COVID, 2018, 2019, where the demand is for the smaller singles in town.
I was looking at to see the last 5 years and the last 10 years and what home values have done. It's unbelievable when you look at the numbers. Single-family home in Ottawa, 5 years ago, up 51% now. 10 years ago, up 90%.
Yeah.
In 10 years.
Yeah. 79, yeah. I think I said it last week, 79% of all homes a decade ago were at 500,000 and under.
Yeah.
Now, that's 19%.
Yeah. But that's taking into account the fact that we've seen drop in values. So imagine if we didn't see the drop in values over the last 18 months that we've seen.
But a lot of this increase is over the last 3 years.
Well, most of it happened during a 2-year period
during
the pandemic.
But still 90%. If you bought 10 years ago, think of what you've paid down on your mortgage.
5 years ago.
Yeah.
There's a lot of clients that I'm getting their renewals for that bought 5 years ago. They bought that townhouse for $349,000. And now they're $650,000. I mean, it's massive increase.
Yeah, they're up 59% from 5 years ago.
I remember back in the day, when I say back in the day, 5 years ago, 4 years ago, 6 years ago, townhomes were all in the threes.
Yeah.
They were totally in the threes. And now you think of a townhome in the threes, like you're not getting a townhome anywhere near the threes.
Oh, you're in the fives probably.
The cheapest townhome you're going to find is going to be in the fives. It's going to be in the fives.
But a couple of years ago, it was the sixes.
But if you would, no, a couple of years ago, it was sevens.
Yeah.
Like I know some, usually in the west and the south, there were some that were in the eights, you know?
Great.
So it was insane. But now you're seeing builders who are advertising, you know, $579, $589, $599 for, you know, a decent townhome. And these are decent, you know, track builders. Prices are definitely come down. And, you know, I said it last week. I've said it for weeks and weeks and weeks now. Prices are going to start shifting going up. They just have to. When the rates come down, there's so much pent-up demand. We're going to see the prices go up again. And you need to get in the market sooner than later because we will see the prices go up. I can guarantee that.
That's as a buyer.
As a buyer.
But as a seller, if you're saying that, then as a seller, I'm saying, well, what do I want to sell now for? I'm going to wait. If the prices are going to go up, I'll get more for my house.
But you'll have more competition then too,
Because there's no inventory on the market. Like you have a great chance of selling your house right now. We're doing lots of multiple offers right now. In fact, we saw one yesterday. I can't remember which one of my agents who sent it out. It might have been Paul Deek. he was something like 50 or 60,000 over asking his buyers had to go to get this property, which we haven't seen in a while. Like, we saw that.
Was it priced properly to begin with?
I think so. Yeah. I think so. Yeah. I think it was a town in the high fives and, or maybe even the sixes or something. And it went for about 50, 60,000 over asking, which we haven't seen in a while. Like, we were seeing that.
I don't want to see that again.
Well, honestly, I don't want to. No, I don't want to see that either, because it's really, really unfair on buyers. It's unfair on agents too, right? They start
fair on everyone, except for the vendor.
Yeah,
the vendor's the only winner.
The vendor's the only winner on that. But it's, I don't think we're going to get there. But I mean, like, yeah, during COVID, I mean, if like 60, 70, 80,000 over asking, that was like a deal.
Yeah, but you didn't want to be a buyer agent then, because
it was tough.
There were so many people disappointed because they went in at 80 and 90,000 over asking, and that wasn't enough.
Well, we always, our biggest struggle was nowadays with millennials and people, like, they don't want to drive to the office to meet you. They want to see the property with you. So the hardest thing is when you never met the people, you got to meet them at the house, build some rapport and trust, and then say, oh, by the way, this $699,000 home, if you want to get it, you got to go about nine and a quarter. Yeah. And they're like, what? You're a slimy salesman. But we were doing our job explaining, this is where it's going to sell. It's going to sell at this price. And that was the hardest part. That was the hardest part for buyer's agents.
521-TALK, 521-8255. We will be right back.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Back with Paul Rushworth and Frank DePolitano. The phones, we go and say hello to Derek. Hello, Derek.
Good morning. How are you doing?
We're great.
Okay, so I waited all week for this, so I want to ask a couple questions, if that's all right.
Sure.
A few for the price of one type thing?
Sure.
Okay, first question. A couple of years ago during COVID, everybody was all enamored with, like, rural properties, like, you know, 2 acres, 5 acres, you know, just beyond the city type thing, like outside of Kempville, outside of Carlton Place, that kind of thing. So has that reversed? Is everybody dumping their rural properties, or are they still in demand? That's my first question. And my second question is, if I want to sell my suburban home, it has a pool. Is it better to wait? Is it better to sell now when there's less competition, or is it better to wait until the pool looks nice, it's blue, you know, it's warm out, yada, yada, that kind of thing? And is the real estate market still crappy from last year, or is it improving? I didn't hear the beginning of your show, so if I'm asking a repeat question, I apologize.
Well, you know what? They're great questions, for one. Question number one, we did answer early in the show, where we saw that during COVID, everyone was moving to the country. There was a lot, people had a lot more disposable income. They're buying the bigger homes. They're moving family into those homes. So the outskirts and big properties were very, very popular during COVID. Now people are scraping money together just to survive, and they're downsizing, and they want smaller, more compact, closer to the city. So yes, the rural properties are suffering a little bit right now. There's more of a trend towards smaller, compact in the city.
Plus, okay, having to go back to the office, right? So people, you know, yeah, I think we're hoping they'd be able to work from home forever. And all of a sudden, you've got these companies that want you to go back 2-3 days. So living in the outskirts is not as...
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm wondering if it's more appealing in the country now, though, because a lot of the people, especially in Ottawa, let's say, they work 2 days a week in the office and then stay home the other three. So the commute is not, like, if you lived in Arnprior, let's say, it was a huge trip into downtown. But, well, now you're only doing it twice a week. So maybe you're like, yeah, I can tolerate that. But I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. And I would say, but then, like, too many people work from home on Monday, Friday. I would do the opposite to fight traffic, because on Monday, Friday, the traffic is not that bad. Those are the days that I go into the office, and I work from home Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
But Derek, you're absolutely correct. I mean, there are still some people that are saying, you know what, if I only have to drive in twice a week, I can stay in my rural home out in wherever, Arnprior, wherever you want to be. But there's a lot of employers that are getting people back to work full time now, and we're seeing a bit of a trend that people are moving a little bit from the bigger outskirt homes into the downtown core.
Thank you.
As for the market, our market is strong and is growing. We had a tough 2023 for buyers and for sellers. We're starting to see prices stabilize. We're starting to see rates eventually start to come down. The optimism is there. We will see our market in the sort of late summer to probably early fall take off like wildfire. And we're already seeing signs of it. Like, we're already seeing multiple offers. We're already seeing, you know, properties selling. So it's we're in a I would say at a start of a strong market is where we are right now. We're Yeah, we're swimming. We're definitely, you know, swimming. Steve's trying to do some. What are you trying to tell me to say, Steve?
Get to his pool question.
Oh, okay. Okay. And then the pool. You know, Steve's starting to show me a swimming, and I'm like, we're swimming upstream? I don't know. What are you trying to say? You
know? Boy, if I knew I could get you like that, I'm going to start doing all kinds of stuff now.
But and then as for the pool, yeah, there's. It makes a lot of sense, especially if you have a beautiful backyard with a nice pool. It makes a lot of sense to get that open before you put your house on the market. And that's probably what I do. But listen, the way the weather is right now, we're not far from you opening that pool anyways. So it's
okay.
Yeah. But it's, you mean, I'd like to say get on the market now because there's no listings on the market right now. But it's at the same time, if you have a beautiful backyard, your pool is one of your top features and your backyard is one of your top features, I would wait until you have that open and looking good.
Okay, and a few years ago, a lot of people didn't want pools, but that's changed permanently, or are people getting away from pools again now that COVID's over?
Good question as well. No, great.
My show this week.
So yeah, it's,
but you stop asking pool questions. I'm tired of swimming here.
But no, you're very right there. Before COVID, nobody really cared about a pool. During COVID, when people were working from home, they were living at home, and they were, you know, they had.
They couldn't travel. So.
They couldn't travel, so pools became super popular. In fact, I have a friend who owns a pool company, and his business went through the roof during COVID. You couldn't even get a pool through COVID.
Yes.
Like you were like an 18-month wait. So yeah, pools are back being in demand, more popular for sure.
Still neutral for price,
it hasn't
right?
gone away then. People still want a pool.
Yeah, people still want a pool. There was a few years that people didn't care about a pool, but people do want a pool now. You know, a lot of people don't have the disposable income, and so their pool is now their vacation, right? So there are more people with wanting pools.
Well, getting a pool maybe starts at 50,000 these days. Starts at 50,000 into 100.
Or more.
So if you're a family and you want a house with a pool, so if your house has got a pool and the house two blocks away doesn't have a pool, I think the chances of you selling your house are much higher. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Your show was amazing. I listen to it every week.
Thank you, Derek.
Awesome. Thanks, Derek. Awesome.
Take care. Bye-bye now.
What's the best advice? Move next door to somebody with a pool?
Good questions, though. I mean, he saw the trends that were happening pre-COVID, during COVID, and now where are we headed? And he's asked some good questions.
Yes.
And I think we're headed more towards pre-COVID, where we were pre-COVID, where people are starting to come back into the core. Pools are still super popular. The bigger homes, not quite as popular anymore. Because let's be honest, no one can afford the friggin' mortgages these days.
Yeah. Or the taxes or everything that goes with it today. The maintenance, the utilities. I mean, it's just everything
is money.
Just way offline.
Everything's
it's just
money.
Way offline. Yeah. Everything.
Of the first-time homebuyers that are looking, where are they looking now?
Well, first-time homebuyers are looking, they're actually looking at really, really small condos. They're looking at, depends if they have a kid or not, or if they're...
Not moving out of town, though, to get...
No, I mean, you are seeing some outskirts. Like, there's some areas, I mean, during COVID, one of the top performing areas in the entire country was actually Armprior. And so we're still seeing Armprior popular. We're still seeing Carlton Place popular. We're still seeing Embrun, Rockland. Those places are still quite popular for first-time home buyers and young families.
And have those prices come down a little bit now since those days, or no?
Well,
it's
the price,
expensive.
The prices have definitely come down, but it's still expensive. I mean, like the townhomes that we're selling for CH Clément out in Rockland, I mean, they're a reasonable, you know, 5.25, 5.5, but that's still expensive.
You're not getting 300,000.
No, you're not getting 300,000-400,000 for a townhome anymore. So it's, you know, but we are seeing more first-time home buyers that can only afford in the outskirts of Ottawa. So that's where they're going. That's where they're starting. And that's why you see a lot of product out there that are terrace homes, townhomes, small singles. You don't see a ton of huge singles out there being built by builders right now.
And this is where we need the government to put their money where their mouth is, because they talk about building homes, but they still make it difficult to build homes. They still make it expensive to put a shovel in the ground to the developers, to the builders. So they need to put the money where their mouth is and start giving builders some breaks, who can then turn around and give consumers breaks and bring that price down 10, 15, 20%, so that instead of having to buy out there for 5.25, maybe they're at 450 or 445, which is much more affordable.
And we've been saying that now for quite a while, that they've loosened a few regulations and here and there, but it's still, I mean, I know I have friends who are builders and they're like, it's a nightmare.
Yeah.
It's a nightmare just getting, you know, getting the soft costs and the red tape and the permits and all that stuff. It's a nightmare. And, you know, yes, they say it's gotten easier, but it's definitely not easy.
Speaking of the government, April 16th is the federal budget. Are we going to see anything in there for homeowners or people that are wanting to get into the housing market on April 16th?
They say they will. You know, they came out with that wonderful first-time homebuyer incentive.
Yeah, the one they've killed now.
Yeah. Such a hit. I mean, they did that just before an election, and lo and behold, we're a year away from an election, and here comes something else. We don't know what it's going to be. We're crossing our fingers. Even at a conference call with the default insurer, Sagen, this week, and they are still very, very strongly proposing a 30-year amortization for first-time home buyers. They're pushing that very hard, and they're not wrong in saying, we don't understand. So first-time home buyer can only get a 25-year amortization, but the minute they have 20% in equity and they're 5 years older, now they can get a 30-year amortization. Like, it doesn't make sense.
And what about the stress test? Are they going to do anything with that?
They say no because, again, the last thing they want is an overheated housing market. So if they reduce the stress test and all of a sudden in Toronto in January, I think things heated up. And, again, those bring up concerns. And this is what holds Bank of Canada back from lowering interest rates, because their biggest fear in lowering interest rates is that we're going to see what we went through during the pandemic and house prices going up tremendously and making cost of living unaffordable. And again, that's going to drive inflation numbers up as well.
But there has to be a happy medium
there somewhere. We just need to figure out what it is.
We are going to see prices skyrocket, but we're not going to see what we saw in Jan, Feb, March, April of 2022. But it's inevitable, right? Like, there is so
But much, it will be a slow increase.
It'll
right?
be a slow increase, but there's so much pent-up demand right now, and there's so many people sitting on the sidelines. Like, I know tons of people who were ready to buy and are just sitting on the sidelines waiting for these rates to come down.
But are they ready to buy? And that's the big question I have, because a lot of first-time home buyers that I've talked to, once you go through the payments with them, even though the interest rates have come down, they've come down half, three-quarters of a point in the last 6 months or so. Still, to go through the payments with them, it's like, oh, we didn't think it was going to be that high. We thought with interest rates coming down. And I say, but interest rates have come down, but certainly nowhere near where we were 2 years, and take away the pandemic, nowhere near where we were 5 years ago when we were pre-pandemic and interest rates were in the high twos and low threes. Once we get to that level, that's when we're going to see the pent-up demand. But that's still a year away,
that's
a year and a half away.
Yeah.
That's not happening probably in 2024. It's likely in 2025. But the federal government should come out with housing. You know, they came out with the first-time saving plan, which is a good plan, $8,000 every year until you get to $40,000 for that first home. I think that's a good plan. You've still got the RSP in Ontario. You've got the land transfer tax rebate for $4,000. That number would be nice to see that number go up to $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 based on the value of the homes going up as much as they have. Then that should probably be a little higher. But that's provincial. On the federal side, here's hoping that they put something in place for builders, something in place for municipalities to encourage local builders to build more smaller homes that can get first-time home buyers into the market, at least to begin with, for 3 to 5 years.
Well, hey, the election is coming, so there's going to be a lot of hot air and a lot of broken promises. So let's see what they come out with, right? So
they would never lower the down payment, would they?
I don't think so. I mean, we had 0% down about 10 right after the housing crisis in the U.S. We had 40-year amortization, 0% down. Those mortgages performed fairly well, but it was strict. They had strict guidelines to get in there. I don't think that they're going to come out with less than 5% down. If anything, what the push is for, you know, I talked earlier in the show about insurable mortgages. Insurable mortgages or high ratio mortgages, maximum value of the home is $1 million. And there's a lot of us that say, you know, if you're buying a first-time home, then you shouldn't be able to get default insurance. If it's over $1 million, you should be able to buy less than $1 million, except for if you're in Toronto or Vancouver and you're a young couple looking to buy, and you can't even get a townhouse for $1 million in some neighborhoods. So they're looking to push that number up to 1.25, which would at least, you know, free up the Toronto and the Vancouvers. They won't regionalize it. Our suggestion was, why don't you just regionalize it? But they won't. They say, nope, Canada's Canada. If we do the 1.25, it's across the country. So they're going to do that, which is okay.
Sucks for Toronto and Vancouver, though, because that's still an entry-level home.
Yeah, it is. But that's what default insurance should be for. It should be for an entry-level home. It shouldn't be buying multiple homes. And listen, they used to have default insurance on investment properties, on refinances. And, of course, the government came out and said, we don't want your house to be used as an ATM the way the U.S. went through. So, so they've made some good moves, and I think the stress test kind of helped, because during the low you know, the low rate, that's why we've had Canadians be able to sustain their homes, even though with the interest rates have gone up, because they were qualifying at 4.75, 5.25 back then. So they were able to do it. What they didn't count on is everything else being so expensive. And that's why people are hurting today. It's not because the interest rates have gone up, but because everything else around them has gone up.
521 Talk, 521-8255. We will be right back.
Let's go swim in the break, Steve. Let's go for a swim.
We return to Open House, the real estate and mortgage show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Welcome back to the phones. We go say hello to Gary. Hello, Gary.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm glad I got on the air.
I'm glad you called.
Hold on, gentlemen.
Hey.
Yeah, you know Paul and Frank are here, right?
Hey, listen, guys, I just worked on that, but I had the chance to call you. I've been meaning to. 50 years ago, the province had a plan called the Home Plan, Home Ownership Made Easy. When you got your house, and it was strictly a lottery, you never owned the land unless you wanted to buy it outright when you sold. You rented it from the province. And that, at that time, that was one of the biggest chunks of your mortgage was the price of the lot. And they had two areas in Ottawa. One was Borden Farm, and the other one was over just at the end of Bathgate Drive in Gloucester. Well, it's Gloucester back then.
Yep.
And, you know, that was my, everybody says you were the luckiest guy in the world. No, I was lucky to marry the woman I did because.
Wow. Is she listening?
Yep. Oh, no, I doubt it.
Because she had money, Gary?
No, not, well, even the mortgage then was dirt cheap.
Yeah.
I don't remember what the rate was, but, of course, you make a killing when you sold, and we stayed in it for almost 20 years.
Did you buy the land or no? You had the option to buy the land? Like, I like the idea of the government who owns a lot of land to build homes for first-time home buyers and give them an opportunity to get into it. And always have it revolving, so it's a great opportunity for a first-time home buyer to get in there. When you're ready to sell and buy a house where you own the land, then you just graduate up and you sell that.
Exactly.
I like that idea.
I did that, got out of off of Bathgate, moved out to Russell, had a home built out there. And 30 years ago, I had the house built that I'm living in now.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's in the city.
Yeah, things were a little simpler back then, unfortunately,
oh,
Gary.
Ever,
I mean, now it's, it's not fun now.
No, no, definitely not. No. And my son and his wife and kids, my wife and I bought a half of a double for them, and they're living comfortably.
Yeah, yeah. Not so easy these days, though, for other parents to buy for other kids.
No, for sure.
Any question, Gary?
No. Why doesn't the province bring back a plan like that?
Good idea.
It was a great success back then.
Reach out to your MP and get the your MP to maybe push it forward to
I'm all for all ears
to get into the market.
If there's an easier way to get into the market and allow people to have homeowners,
Steve,
stop making it. And it was easier back then, put it that way.
It was. It definitely was.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you, Gary.
Have a good one. Bye for now.
Bye now. I learned a new phrase this week.
Uh-oh.
A false sense of precision.
Wow.
That's what Tiff said.
Yeah.
When he was talking about when the rates might come down. I don't want to give you a false sense of precision.
Yeah. Well, no different than he gave us a false sense of precision when he told us to buy and
go variable and rates are going to be low till 2024.
And why does he always add the caveat that I can't rule out the need to raise rates if things change? Does he have to say that?
Again,
we understand that.
Yeah. I think he's just covering himself now based on the fact that he knows he made some comments that he wish he had back. And so now he just puts himself in a position where, well, I didn't say that. I said it could go either way. So it just, just political.
Hey, just before we go, I know you wanted to touch on this, Frank. We added 41,000 jobs in February.
Yeah, how interesting. Population grows by how much?
But they were full-time, though.
They were full-time, self-employed. Most of them were self-employed. 35,000, I think, were people
that were self-employed. Most of them were public sector, and private sector jobs fell 16,000.
Right, because self-employed went up.
Yeah.
A lot of people left their jobs and became self-employed.
Yeah. Or got second jobs and became self-employed.
Or got second jobs.
And how did they come up with that number, Frank?
I have no idea.
Don't get them going.
Birthdays, Frank.
Zero. What I want to do is again, our industry is great. I think Paul would say the same thing, the real estate industry, the mortgage industry, when it comes to doing things for local charities. Broker who's with another brokerage, but it's okay. Great guy, a great couple, actually. Bill Gosowitz and Joanne Mazeral, They raised $2,500. They had an indoor golf tournament a couple of weeks ago that I was able to go to, and they raised money for the Kiwanis Club of Bytown. So good for them. Congrats to both of them raising that money. And birthdays, my brother-in-law Mario celebrated his birthday this week, and my good friend Waldo celebrating a birthday next week. But I'll talk about next week because actually next Saturday is his birthday, so say that.
Awesome.
And we're out of time.
I
do have a couple. Good friend of the show, Connor, who calls in all the time. His son, Francis, turns 5 today. Was it today? No, on Wednesday. So happy birthday to Francis. Bridget, one of my amazing agents, has her birthday today, and she's on vacation enjoying herself right now. And, of course, my son. My son turns 20 on Wednesday. So, Hunter.
20.
Yeah, happy birthday to Hunter.
How old was he when we started this show?
He was two or three years old.
2 or 3 years old. Little I still remember him around. Coming on, little kid running around. Yeah, he's 20 now. So
you're old.
I know.
So. Yeah, we're older.
Have a great week, everybody.
Have a great week. And please continue to support local businesses and charities.
Absolutely.